that we might be found in favor with God. We are going to do something this morning. I think for those of you who have been studying through the book of Romans on Wednesday night, you'll recognize some of these things. But in Romans chapter 12, we've got enough in the book of Romans chapter 12. We could just spend a whole year right there in Romans chapter 12. Just trying to get our will aligned with God's will and getting our lives aligned with the Word of God. We can just spend a whole year right here in Romans chapter 12. So we're thankful for those who have come, and we're going to ask you to break out your Bibles because we're going to read and study through some of these verses in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and the verse of Scripture that was read in our hearing came from verses 1 and 2. So if you meet with us there, Romans chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Beautiful, beautiful thought. I mean, just verses 1 and 2. We could spend a whole lot of time right there in verses 1 and 2. I remember several years back when we used to go to McDonald's and with the Happy Meal. No, I wasn't getting the Happy Meal for myself, y'all. But, you know, Happy Meal, it's like, don't you want to be happy when you get your meal? But if I remember correctly, they used to give these little gifts in the Happy Meal. And at this time, they would put these little devices in there. It looked like one thing, and you start manipulating it and moving it around, and it transformed into something else. It was a transformer. Anybody ever seen any of those transformers? Okay, I didn't have enough toys as a child, so, you know, I was like, and I, you know, the kids were supposed to have the little transformers. I think I might have one of them left. But those were amazing devices to me. And when you read the book of Romans in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 2, it's an amazing thing that Apostle Paul is begging members of the church. Do you have to beg folk in the church? Does God have to beg us through the proclaimed word of God? Does God have to beg us to do anything? And what he's begging us to do is to be transformed. And I've entitled the lesson for this morning, "The Transformation." Let the transformation begin. Let it start with me. We can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. One of the things that we hope to see in the lesson this morning is that in order to be transformed, God requires that we be completely dedicated to him. In order to be transformed, God requires that we be humble and faithfully use the spiritual gifts that he's blessed us with. To be transformed, we've got to do the duties that God has called for us to do and do it with our might every time. Do it to the best of our abilities. And last but certainly not least, we have to learn to be peaceable and benevolent toward all men. All of that is right there in Romans chapter 12. Now, it's a good thing in one sense this morning is that this is the first time that we've had the Sunday 8 o'clock worship since I've been speaking at the 8 o'clock worship that we don't even have to worry about TV time. We're not on the TV time clock this morning. Well, okay, I know we've got Bible class at the back end. I understand. So our timing hasn't changed that much. But if we can't get through all of this, read through and study through Romans chapter 12. The Romans study is about to conclude because we're getting ready to go into the next quarter, but we could spend a whole year just right here. It is just so rich. We can be the kind of people God wants us to be. Is that too much for us to say to our neighbor? Can you remember that much? All right? So I try to get folk to help me with my lesson. So make sure everybody's starting off on the same page. Turn to your neighbor in front of, on side, behind you, and let them know we can be the people God wants us to be. We can be those people. We can be those people. And guess what? If we're going to go home and be with God, we've got to be those people. We must be those people. Coming to church is not just enough. Being in the church, yes, that's where we ought to be in terms of having obeyed the gospel of Christ. But the word of God, when Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Christ in Rome, he was letting folk know it's not just enough to be in the church. It's not just enough to be a member of the family of God. He starts off in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1, and he tells us that we ought to be transformed. He says it's not just enough to be in the family of God. He's showing us that it makes a difference how we live as members of the family of God. Can't just be. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We have to be in Christ. Okay. But he says, who walk not after the flesh in Romans 8 and verse number 1, but after the Spirit. So we've got to be in Christ, but if we're in Christ, he's challenging us to be transformed. Don't walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit, begging the people of God, let us be transformed. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, therefore. That word, therefore, brethren, in the King James. When you see that word, therefore, we ought to ask the question, wherefore? Right. Therefore, wherefore? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, therefore, he says what? Something that he's already told us is one of the reasons that we need to be transformed. One of the reasons that we need to be changed. I'm begging you, my brothers. I'm begging you, sisters. We're begging one another to be changed, to be transformed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 22, it says, behold, therefore, the goodness, and we say it all the time, don't we? God is good. Is God good? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's absolutely right. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Paul says, however, in Romans 11 and verse number 24, he says, behold, therefore, the goodness of God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, the goodness and, is that in your Bible? Is it on the screen? Can you see it? It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Because what Paul was teaching, he was showing those Gentiles that had come into the body of Christ that God had cut off Israel. God had cut them off, and only a remnant was left. Only a small portion of the family of God had been left. And certainly, a part of the falling away of Israel was because God was grafting in and bringing in the Gentiles, which made way for you and me. Thank you, God, for letting us into the family of God. Thank you, God, that you showed mercy to us, to me, an undeserving servant, and allowed me to become a part of this great family of God. Are you glad that God let you in? Amen. I'm glad God let me in, brother. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to be excluded, be left out. You ever been left out of anything before? You know, that's like interesting. Y'all see, you don't know. It's like, see, you might not know this, but when I was growing up, I was not as popular as some. Oh, you know this already? I was not as popular as some of the other kids. See, now I tell folk I was Urkel before Urkel became cool. Who knew? I could have had a TV show. But you know, I found out I wasn't as popular with folks because I'd be studying and helping folks with studies and all of that kind of stuff and doing homework and math club and science club and language club and all that kind of stuff. And then folk would have a party. And I come to school on Monday. That's, oh, you were you there? then I found out on Monday there was a party on Saturday with folk that I hadn't helped all the week through the school. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that sometimes we get left out. But thanks be to God, thanks be to God that he allowed us to be members of the family of God. And Paul was mindful of the fact that God let him in. And since God had let him in, Paul says, I'm going to work every day for God. It requires us to be completely dedicated to God if we're going to be the people of God. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And it brings to mind, see, we really don't have, it brings to mind one of the six major sacrifices, the burnt offering sacrifice. You'll find that in Leviticus chapter 6. And in Leviticus chapter 6, it teaches us about the burnt offering sacrifice. And the command for the burnt offering sacrifice is that when a man was offering the burnt offering, he'd put his hands on the bull. And this was a substitution that this bull is going to die for me. This bull is going to shed his blood for me. And that bull would be offered up on the altar and it would consume the entire sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice that says, I am completely dedicated to God. And that's what Paul is saying to us. If we're going to be transformed, if we're going to be changed, if we're going to be different men and women, it's got to start with a complete dedication to God. Because if we're not completely dedicated to God, then the burnt offering is not being offered up. Everything and all things that belong to me or you are actually offered up to God. It's an amazing thing. The burnt offering sacrifice. And the law of the burnt offering was, don't ever let the fire go out. Isn't that a metaphor for us? Don't ever stop loving God, brother. Don't ever stop loving God, sister. Don't ever stop being the child of God. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Offer ourselves, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. God wants his people to be holy. We are to live righteous lives. Be people that other folk can see the power of the transformation in our lives. That God has changed us. That we don't do the same kinds of sinful things that we used to do. That we are sacrificing our lives. Why? Because we want to be acceptable unto God. In the King James translation, it says, and you know what? This is our reasonable service. This is how we start being children of God. Just being completely dedicated to God. Giving over our lives, our desires, replacing them with what God wants for our lives. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. I'm telling you, right here in verses 1 and 2, I'm going to tell you, that's a lifetime of work starting right now. It's a lifetime of trying to compel our minds to align with the word and the will of God. We can't do it by ourselves. I need Jesus. I need the help of the Lord in my life. And you know what? Whether we know it or not, every one of us needs Jesus. You can't do this by force of will. And see, what Paul was finding in Romans chapter 7, when he was talking about that he would do, that he doesn't do it, and that he would not, that I do, if then I do that, I would not. It's not me that's doing it anymore, he said. He says, but sin dwelleth in me. You can't do it by force of will or mind. We need the power of God in our lives. But it starts with the transformation. We've got to transform our minds. We got to change. We can't be the same people. I'm telling you, this is an amazing, amazing, life-giving, soul-stirring kind of transformation that Paul is calling for. In Luke chapter 9, we get a little picture of it as Jesus was dealing with it. Look at Luke chapter 9, and let's get verses 23 and 24. Somebody going to have to make sure you stop me, because I don't even know what time I'm supposed to stop now since we ain't got no TV. So y'all just stop me. If I see y'all get up and everybody start walking out, I know I should have stopped. I remember in one of those movies that Jim Carrey was in, he said, "Somebody stop me." Luke 9, 23 and 24. Is it still in the Bible? All right. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "And said unto them, if any man," and he said unto them all, "if any man," is that what it said? "If any man," anybody that's going to come after Jesus, anybody that's going to follow Christ, "if any man," he says, "will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself." We got to stop doing what we want to do and start doing what we know God says to do. Man, I'm telling you, this is a lifetime right here. Because we already know every time we get up in the morning what we want to do. I know what I want to do. What we want to do is check our checklist with God's checklist. And if there's anything on our checklist that God says is not on his checklist, whose checklist do we follow? If we're going to renew our minds, if we're going to be transformed, if we're going to be changed, I can't keep acting like I act all the time. I've got to be different. I've got to substitute God's will for my will. You have to substitute God's will for your will. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And get this. And take up his cross. Is that what it says? Don't take it down. Leave it up there for a minute. And take up his cross. See, now, the cross, sometimes we don't see the significance or the relevance of the cross because we got different kind of crosses nowadays. And I'm not fighting anybody's jury. I mentioned this one time and somebody thought I was talking about the jury. But, you know, some folk do wear crosses. I don't wear one. That's your choice, personal choice. But we wear golden crosses or silver or platinum crosses and wear them around our neck and they're beautiful. And folk look at them and they're like, "Oh, man, you know, that's really a nice kind of thing." But that's not the cross. The cross doesn't come with wheels on it either. If you get one of those wood ones, I saw a guy, he was trying and he was dragging when it had a wheel on it. He's like, no, that's you cheating. When you read about the cross in the Bible, the cross always means death. Jesus died on the cross. And he did it willingly. He laid down his own life on Calvary's cross, not because he had ever done anything wrong. See, sometimes we want to justify ourselves. All right, you act like that with me, brother. All right, you know, you hit me with your right hand, but you know what, the left one coming back. You know, we are different people sometimes. You know, even though we have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Remember Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." It requires a completely different kind of way of looking at things. It's a renewing of our minds. It's a change of heart that leads to a change of action. He says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross." How often? What we did for God that was good yesterday, that ain't good enough for today. Take up your cross daily. That Bible is telling us, the Word of God is telling us that we've got to die to self and sin every single day. And in every choice that we face, every decision that we make, God is saying, transform our minds. Change yourself. Not what I will. Isn't that what Jesus said? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he had the cup, not a literal cup, a figurative cup. He had the decision before him. "You've got to decide, Jesus. Here it is. They're coming to take you. They're coming to nail you to a tree. They're coming to humiliate and embarrass you. What are you going to do?" And Jesus asked the question. He says, "The cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Yeah. I mean, what's in the cup? Death is in the cup. What's in the cup? Disrespect is in the cup. What's in the cup? Dishonor is in the cup. But he's doing the will of his Father. And sometimes, listen. We are okay as long as things are okay, as long as people treat us right. But it requires a mind transformation, a renewal, and the word of God. We got to bathe our hearts and our minds in the word of God continually. I'm just on verse number 1 and 2 right now. I'm telling you, we could spend a year right here, because he's calling for us to change. Some folks, again, and I don't fight coming to church, brother. We ought to love coming to church. We ought to love to praise him. Brother Ray was singing the song, I love to praise. But praise to God and glory to God is in the church. And what he's calling for us to do in the church is to be different from folk that are in the world. Woo, Lord. This Christianity stuff is a full-time responsibility. He says, I die daily. And notice what he said. Not just to die daily. Notice. And the latter part of that, he says, and follow me. We got to follow Jesus. We've got to follow every step along the way. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. It means us giving up our lives. Can you see that? Can you see it? Verse number 24 and Luke chapter 9, it makes it quite explicit. Look at Luke chapter 9 and verse number 24, because now he's going to explicitly tell us something. And it's something that sometimes has to meditate in our hearts and our mind. It has to soak in. It's got to soak in for a while so I can get this and make sure that I can get it right. He says, for whosoever will save his life. You know what saving our life means? Saving a life, saying like, okay, you know, I know what I'm going to do today. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that because that's what I want to do. And, you know, sometimes we have to tell folks and let them know because everybody don't agree with what we want to try to do in their way. And we say, well, that's how I roll. That's how I roll. If you're going to roll with me, if you're going to ride, that's how I roll. You know, that's just where I am. Anybody ever say that? That's just where I am. You know, a lot of times we say that's how I roll, that's how I am, that's just how I am. What we're saying, what we're publicly saying, I ain't gonna change. I'm gonna do my own thing. I have a lesson that I wrote back in the 1980s, and it's called Doing Yourself In by Doing Your Own Thing. You know, that's because, you know, that kind of talk was cool back then, you know. I'm gonna do my thing. What you doing? Doing my thing. Hey, bro, how's it going? What you doing? My thing. Doing my thing. No. We are doing ourselves in by doing our own thing. God wants us to do his thing. Does that make sense? So he says, for whosoever will save his life, don't save your life, brother. Don't save your life, sister. Don't do what you want to do. I can't do what I want to do. I got to change, be transformed. But whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. We're going to lose the biggest value by trying to save our lives. And notice, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Do you know that's in the context of picking up our cross, dying to self and sin every day, and living the pattern that God has called for us to live? That's precisely what he's telling us. We got to be transformed, brother. We got to be transformed, sister. We got to change. When we come into the body of Christ, that is the beginning of where we need to be. Anybody ever burned wood? Anybody ever burned wood? Anybody got a wood burning fireplace? Okay. Now, I'm going to be in trouble. Y'all pray for me. I ain't trying to get in trouble with my wife. All right. But we had a wood burning fireplace, and she said, oh, that's so beautiful. Take that out and put a gas thing in there. So we don't have wood burning no more. But has anybody ever tried to start a fire in a fireplace with wood? Well, now, you've got these big pieces of wood in there, right? All right. Oh, all right. There you go. All right. Okay, invite me over. Okay. But you sometimes put like little kindling pieces. Those are little pieces under there that are easier to catch fire. And once you start that fire, the flame comes up, right? Is it finished? When you start the fire, when you ignite, is it finished? Why? What's got to happen? It's got to catch those logs on fire in there, right? And when the logs catch on fire, they burn and they continue to burn. And you know, you got your stack of wood right there. And when you need to put another log on the fire, you put another log on and that thing will keep on burning. You understand that? See, when we obeyed the gospel of Christ, we started the fire. We started the fire. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But we got to get to the heavier wood. We got to get to the logs. The kindling is on fire. But what about the logs? Burn the logs. God wants us to be transformed. He wants us to be changed. And I tell you, when you get that wood fire going, you got that stuff going in there, you know what? It gives heat to the whole house. But you know what? Just a little kindling, the kindling don't heat the whole house. See, that's just the starter. And what God is saying to us through Apostle Paul is that we got to lay down our will, and every single day we've got to pick up the will of God. We got to lay down self. We got to lay down sin every day. Every decision, every choice that we make, it's got to come under the alignment of the word and the will of God. Lord, have mercy. Be ye transformed. And Paul says, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, Paul said. I'm begging you. I'm begging members of the family of God. Why? Because behold the goodness of God. But God is good, and all the time God is good, and everything God does is right. But God ain't playing with us. He cut off Israel. We are the children of God under the new covenant. And he says, don't think that God going to let us get all the way to the glorified kingdom and we don't transform. We've got to change. Don't be like everybody else. It starts with our minds. All right. Okay. Let's lighten it up a little bit so y'all getting so serious and stuff out here. Okay. So now y'all help me again and turn to the person on side of, in front of, or behind you and say, let's have a change of mind. It's in the book. It's in the book. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll get verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2. Because we see Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, God manifest among men. But now, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 5, notice what Jesus is showing us again through Apostle Paul. Paul says we got to transform our mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. What mind? Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, which was also in Christ. Let the mind of Christ dwell in us. But you got to get this. The first word in verse number 5, what is the first word? Let. You know what that means? That means I've got a choice. Yes, I have to decide. How often do I have to decide? Every day. Look at Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. What? Let. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? What kind of mind did Jesus have? Let's back up. Now, anybody drive this morning? I tell you, I noticed something this morning. I've noticed this before. I've made this illustration before. But before we can ever get going at our house, see, we park heads in. I park heads in. And before we can leave every morning, it's like, I got to put it in reverse. I got to back it up. See, some of y'all are with that. Some of y'all are going, back it up. Yeah, you got to back it up. You got to put it in reverse before you can go forward. It's time for us to back up. Philippians chapter 2, and let's get verse number 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Apostle Paul says, he says, fulfill ye my joy. Paul says, you want to make me happy? As a wise apostle, he's challenging the people of God. You want to make me happy, he says, in Philippians 2 and verse number 2, that ye be like-minded. everybody, all of us ought to have the same mind. Why? We're being transformed. We're being changed. God is working on me. And folks say that sometimes, God ain't through with me yet. Yeah, but God didn't leave us the whole time for 20 years at the same spot. We have to let this mind be in us. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having what? 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 Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, now, I love Brother Flanagan over here, but you know, I ain't so, that Brother Barry, oh, Lord, I can't love him the same way because he ain't the same, you know what I'm saying? Y'all stay with me now. I'm using an illustration. He says, having the same love. Love all of your brothers. Love all of your sisters. No, we don't all act the same way, but you got to love all of us anyway. Why? Because that's what God says. God does not let you and me pick and choose over his children. And you know what? God expects for his children to grow in love one for another. Even for the folk who go around talking about, that's just how I am, I ain't changing. He's trying to grow us up in love. He's trying to get us to be that city that's set on a hill. He's trying to get us to be the people when folks see us, they know there's something different about us because of the love that we have one to another. He says, being of one accord, of one mind. Brother, we got to get together. Sister, we got to get together. We got to be in agreement with the word and the will of God, and we got to allow the word of God to change us, to transform us, to be the people of God, to be the city of light, to be the ones who are shining out into the darkness. And folks see, whoa, man, there is something different about those folk who are members of the family of God. He says, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In verse number 3, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Is that still in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Dealing with this mind, being transformed. It starts up here, y'all.
Yes, sir.
He says, let nothing. There's that let again. Let nothing. Don't do anything. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't ever do anything because you're going to try to show somebody else up. I ain't supposed to never do nothing to try to show somebody. Oh, I'm going to show. Oh, yeah. It was watching. Watch my smoke. Watch my smoke. I'm going to show you how it's done. You know, they were talking about some stuff about the. Hey, now, well, see, y'all don't know about the black and white movies back before. And, you know, there was a time that they didn't even have talkies. Did y'all know that? But they used to put black people on TV. It's different. It's different now. There was a time when you didn't find us on every channel. And there was a guy, I believe his name, I don't want to mention his name because I probably mess it up. But he was in the movie, and there was a horse. And there was a situation where he and the horse both needed to run. Now, I don't know if you have been in a situation where you need to run, but if you ever in a situation where you need to run, you need to run. But the brother said in that black and white movie, he says, huh, step aside, horse. I'm going to show you how a real man run. Sometimes you got to move, brother. And you know what? It's like, you know, here it is. God is asking for us not to be real men and real women. He's asking for us to be spiritual men, amen. Spiritual women. Show folk how it's done. Show folk how a spiritual man runs the Christian ways. Show folk how a spiritual woman runs the Christian way, race. But it causes for us to have a transformation of the mind. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Don't be trying to show what your goods are. He says, but in lowliness of mind. In lowliness of mind. It's still in the Bible, right? He says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Everybody we come into contact with is better than me. Let each esteem other better than themselves. What would it be like if we treated everybody like they are better than us? Let each, I'm telling you, see, it's like we're only on first two verses here in Romans chapter 12. He says, treat folk right. Treat folk the way, treat folk as though they are the most important person that you have ever met. When we come, what would it be like if we treated folk like that? All right, help me again. Turn to the person on side of, in front or behind or next to you, and let them know, you are better than me. You're better than me. You're better than me. You're better than me. I ain't nothing. You're better than me. Let each esteem other better than himself. And if we do that, it's a transformation. It's a change. We are more aligned with the word and the will of God. We are that light that sits on a hill. A city that cannot be hid, because folk know that we value them. It's changing the dynamic. We're becoming transformed into the men and women of God. We stopped burning the kindling, and now the wood in the fireplace is catching on fire, and we're providing warmth. We're providing comfort to all that are in the household. We're to use our gifts to the name, honor, and glory of God. Okay. Ooh, Lord. Okay. Drop down to verse 6 of Romans chapter 12, and let's get verses 6. Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 through 8. I have to skip. I'm already out of time almost. But notice this, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, and let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Lord, have mercy. All right, so I'm going to have to pull some points out of this and keep it moving and keep it moving. You know, he says, use our gifts to the name, honor, and glory of God. If God has blessed you with the gift of preaching, don't go half-stepping. Preach! Paul asked for the church. He says, pray for me that I might boldly proclaim. He wanted to boldly proclaim the word of God. He didn't want to hold it back, because sometimes if you're not careful, we can get up here and we'll be scared to say what the church needs. Amen. Brother, when I go to the doctor, tell me what I need. I need to know, because I want to make the change. And this is not an appeal. I'm going to tell you, let me just listen. I wanted the doctor to tell me good news, and certainly I wanted that. I'm a cancer survivor. By the grace of good Lord, God has blessed me. And I had a medical procedure a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. I'm going to tell you the truth. I was concerned that maybe the cancer would come back. And I was a little bit concerned. I went in, and God gave me good news. You know what? No cancer. Good. God is good, brother. And I'm not saying that if you've got cancer that God, see, because here you have to prepare yourself to do what you need to do in order to get. But listen, man, that was good news. I was happy. But you know what? I was ready for whatever the doctor said, because don't we need to know if we're going to have a chance? We need to know. So tell me whatever it is that I need to know. Help me to get it right. Help me to get ready. Because you know what? If you don't know what needs changing, how can you change? Sometimes we know and we just ain't going to do it, but that's another story. If you got the gift of preaching, do the best you can. Serving, serve with simplicity. Serve God's people. Teaching, teach the word of God. Don't go half-stepping. encouragement. Be one that edifies and lifts up the members of the family of God. If you're giving, give, and don't sound a trumpet before you when you're giving. Leadership, lead. We need men and women who are able to stand out and show us this is the way. We need somebody to show mercy. Lord, have mercy. And if you are showing mercy, it's an interesting thing he says when it comes to this mercy gift right here. He says, if we are going to be merciful, notice what he says. He says, with cheerfulness. That's a latter part of verse number 8. Has anybody ever done something for you and everybody know they did it? Well, you know, Lord have mercy, he came to me again. He act like he ain't got nobody else's phone number. I helped him the last time. See, no good deed goes unpunished. Now he want me to help him again. No, that's not being merciful. Because now we're bragging on what we did. And the Lord says, if you're going to be merciful, be cheerful, be happy that God blessed you to be the one to help somebody rather than the one who needed help. Thank you, God, I had what you have given me to help somebody else. This is a little side comment on that one when you get to verse number 8. All right, we got to skip some more. What else can we skip here? Okay, verse number 9, we can't skip that. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? God is telling us, especially as children of God, don't fake your love. Don't fake your love. All right. There's a song in there somewhere. I don't know, but don't fake the love. We were studying something like this some time ago, and I said before, one of the brothers told me, say, brother, he said, Brother Wilkson, say, but what if I ain't feeling the love? When I ain't got the love, don't I have to fake it until I make it? No. What God is saying, you got to change your mind. I've got to change my mind. We've got to renew our minds. We got to bathe our minds in the Word of God. Because, see, some of us have conditional love. Some of us have baseball love. You know what baseball love is? That's strike one. Oh, yeah, just strike two. And you know what happens with the third strike? You are out. No, that's safe, right? You out. How oft do I forgive my brother? How oft shall I forgive my sister? How many times can folk come to us with the same thing? I say to folks, we can stop forgiving folk when we want God to stop forgiving us. That's all right, God. I don't need no more grace, God. No, I had enough. I got this from here on out, God. No, you know, I'm good. We stop forgiving folk when God stops, when you tell God he can stop forgiving you. I need the mercy of God. All right. Got to skip. All right. Drop down to verses 19 through 21. And he says, don't do evil for evil. Now, we used to say, kill my cat. Oh, you haven't heard that, huh? Kill my cat. I'll kill your dog. Well, if I ain't got a dog, I'm going to buy you one, then I'm going to kill it. God says, don't do evil for evil. Folk treat you wrong, don't treat them wrong in return. Folk don't like you, don't hate them back. That is not being a child of God. He's calling for us to be transformed. A renewing of our mind. And he says, do right so that our rightness will be something that is apparent to everybody, no matter how they treat us. He says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And see, we use that as an excuse sometimes. Well, it just ain't in me. That ain't in me. It ain't in me. Extra mile. No, I ain't going no extra mile. Slap me on the right. Oh, no, Lord. You draw back again, you're going to draw back a nub. That's what you say on the street, you know. It's like, you know, hey, man, I'm going to cut your hand off. It's like, you know, no, listen. He says that we are to be at peace with all men. We don't have time for this. We don't have time. But I want you to write down a reference for 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 17 through 22. Write down as a reference 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 17 and 22. That's a great study. That's where Elijah was up in the mountain. Oh, man. And I got to get one more, though. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's see. This idea of heaping coals of fire. Heaping coals of fire up on his head. This thought is something that I think we sometimes don't get the correct understanding. There's a translation of the Bible called the International Standard Version of the Bible. I don't know if we have that one with us or not. But this is a reference that is referenced in Proverbs 21, Proverbs 25, verses 21 through 22. Heaping coals of fire. But now, the International Standard Version, it reads like this. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22. He says, if your enemy hungers, give him food. If he thirsts, give him water to drink. For you will be piling burning coals of shame on his head, and the Lord will reward you. That's the thought that Paul's expressing in Romans chapter 12. I believe that that's what, if we really dig off into it, what he's saying is that when folk treat us bad, and you are still kind and merciful and tenderhearted toward them, they see how good you are to them. You keep on being good regardless of how they treat us. He says, you put them to shame. They go like, oh my God, look how good he's been to me. Look how good she's been to me. I haven't done anything to deserve it. But isn't that how God treats us? God, when he tells us to love our enemies and he tells us to feed them and to give them to drink, it's not because he's saying you're going to kill them with kindness. That's not what he's telling us to do. He says you'll bring them to shame. They go like, man, how can I keep on doing this? Now, some folk might. Folk keep on doing it. But he's saying, how can I keep on treating them like this when they're just so good to me? I got to change. You bring them to repentance. So we're not trying to destroy anybody. We're trying to be the children of light. It requires a transformation. Man, I need a transformation. I don't know about it. I need a transformation. I need to be somebody different. I need to be somebody better. Maybe there's someone here this morning who needs a transformation, somebody that needs to be better. We cannot do this by ourselves. It requires the power of God in our lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, Apostle Paul, writing to the church, outlines the elemental forms of the gospel of Christ. He teaches us that Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and he arose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then he's calling us to repent. And we talk about that. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Turning from self and sin and turning to God. I don't want to do it my way. God, help me to do it your way. Then simply confess that you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we can be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And what happens when we rise up out of the water? We rise up to walk in newness of life. God has always been calling for his people to be transformed. We ought not to be the same as we were when we obeyed the gospel of Christ. We got to catch the logs on fire. We got the kindling, but we got to catch the logs on fire. But maybe there's somebody here that's not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ. Come into the body of Christ and show us how to be transformed. Show us how to be changed. Show us how to be different. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. But we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If there's anyone who would like to make a transformation, anyone needs to make a rededication, recommitment, the opportunity is before you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
God bless you, my brother.
Are you fully trusting in His grace?
Are
you washed
Thank you, my brother.
In the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed
in the blood? Cleansing blood of the Lamb.
All
your garments, spotless are they white.